Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. And this study in Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, titled, The Lord of the Sabbath. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com, or you can mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study in Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, titled, The Lord of the Sabbath. This is part 1 of 2. We're in Luke 6, if you want to open your Bibles. Luke 6, starting a new chapter. Finished Luke 5, the Lord of the Sabbath. And we'll get into that right after our current events update. Bet you can't guess what I'm going to talk about. As much as I would rather not. I'm calling this the coronavirus scam. I'm not telling you there's no such thing. I'm not telling you it's not dangerous. I'm telling you that it's as dangerous as the flu, maybe a little more dangerous than the flu, but it is not worth what is happening all around us right now.
Amen.
This is Orwellian. Amen. If you don't know what that means, you read a book titled 1984. There's a movie out by that same title. There's a little bit of nudity, so you just watch the TV version. I think you'd be okay. But I believe that coronavirus is real. But among other things that's possible related to this, I believe it's being used. The Rahm Emanuel, never let a crisis go to waste, in action. They're using this to do exactly what they've done in the past. We talked about 9/11 and the Patriot Act and all that other stuff didn't have a thing to do with terrorists. And they built a surveillance society. They watch every move you make with your bank accounts. And they used it on the war on drugs. Well, that has nothing to do with 9/11. Little old ladies, little old white suburban grandmas, or little black grandmas from Columbus, Ohio, or little, whatever Mexican. How many of you have heard of Mexicans blowing up buildings in the United States of America? How many Mexicans, what's that got to do with Islamic terrorism? Nothing. They used 9/11 in order to tighten the screws. Then came 2008 and the economic crisis. Most of that had to do with setting up the digital society and invasion of privacy on that level and so forth. Now this, there's a lady named Candace Owens. You do have to watch her language once in a while, but it's usually kind of warranted that when she's using strong language. But she posts this thing, you might recognize that graphic. That's the same thing I posted a couple weeks ago. And she is referring to this again. Corona is real, but she's referring to this hysteria as the Corona Doomsday Cult. She says, the Corona Doomsday Cult refuses all questions about the flu because, quote, it's not the flu, bro. In other words, if you say, wait a minute, if Corona and the numbers that we know about Corona are so bad, you're going to shut down the economy and ruin people's lives. Why didn't we do it over the flu?
That's right.
Whenever there's been years where the flu was much worse than anything we've seen yet from Corona. And the smart aleck response is, it's not the flu, bro. In other words, they're saying Corona is much worse. Not according to the numbers, it's not. And we talked about that. She said, this is quoting Candace Owens, quote, We are simply asking you to explain why 730,000 flu hospitalizations plus 62,000 flu deaths and 54 million positive diagnoses since October of the flu somehow did not overwhelm our hospitals. And yet this corona thing, the numbers are they're a tenth of that. And we're supposed to believe that the world needs to shut down because it's overrunning our hospitals? Bull something, isn't it? Baloney. She says, we know it's not the flu, bro, but how about you just answer the questions? See, that's what I'm telling you. When you ask these power players, they think they're... Doug, I think you said it yesterday when we were talking. You know, if you don't have a degree, then you're stupid. Shut up. Uh-huh. Well, I'm sorry, but most of you people with degrees haven't got the common sense God gave the rear end of a chimpanzee. Amen. You ever heard, so smart you're stupid? That's what you're dealing with. You're a scientist. We didn't elect you to anything. So shut up. Don't tell me what to do. And the politicians, we didn't elect you to be dictators. We elected you to uphold the Constitution. We elected you to abide by the laws. And when you tell us to do something you don't have the legal authority to do, we don't obey you. Period. We obey God. Now, they'll get by with it if they are able to put a gun to your head. I mean, the Federal Reserve is an anti-constitutional scam. The Federal Reserve, the IRS, our founding fathers would have shot the IRS agents that came to their home trying to collect taxes. Do you understand that? We didn't have an income tax before, what was it, 1913? Because the founding fathers opposed it.
That's the whole reason for the revolution.
The whole reason for the revolution was taxation without representation. If you don't think you're being taxed without representation, you're not paying attention. And this whole bill that they passed, and they tried to demonize, and this includes Donald Trump, shame on him, trying to demonize Representative Kenneth Massey from Kentucky. Ken Massey is a hero. And I don't care who it is trying to demonize him. He's that one congressman that they were saying, oh, he's going to force us to take a vote. Because that's what the Constitution requires.
Thomas.
I said Ken, didn't I? I think I went to school with a Ken Massey. Ken Massey, you're a hero too. Thomas Massey from Kentucky. Thomas Massey. I called his D.C. office. I called the Ashland, Kentucky office. His voicemail was full. So I called one of his smaller offices and left him a message. I just told him. I said, this is Pastor Greg Miller, Bible Believers Fellowship, Worthington, Ohio. They ask you to give the phone number. You return the call. I said, you don't have to return my call. My phone number is, but you don't have to return my call. I just want you to know that there are millions of Americans who stand with you. And you're a hero. And you just keep doing what you're doing. Because every time there's a crisis, and sometimes like this one, it's blown out of proportion, the government deep state takes advantage of it to then take your rights. And I'm sorry, but right now Donald Trump is either a sucker or he's jumping in bed with him. So pray for Donald Trump. If he's being suckered, that he'll wake up. And at times he says things that makes you think he's waking up to it. But then they get him behind closed doors. And the next time he comes out, you hear the same stuff. Listen, corona is as dangerous as the flu. Maybe a little more. That's science. But hysteria is not helping. And the American people need to write and call their leaders and say, listen, I'm not over the age of 60. I don't have underlying conditions. I don't have anyone like that in my house or an infant. I should not be forced to stay home.
Amen.
The deaths for people who don't fall in those categories is lower than the amount of people who die in those categories from the flu. Look it up. They you don't ever hear them talk about those numbers. You have to dig. But you go out on the CDC and other websites, you'll find it. They posted the numbers. And the people who aren't in those unsafe categories are dying of the flu at a higher rate than the coronavirus. So why isn't everybody freaking out about the flu? I'll tell you why. Because people are sheeple. They don't ask. They hear this stuff and it's like, bah, yeah. Ask the questions. Do the research. Go to where the numbers are and think. So what is the purpose of all this hysteria? I don't believe anyone knows, no matter what you're hearing online. There are some good thoughts. I've heard some people talk about some things. And there's a Jason Hilbert shared a link that I've shared with a few other people. I think it's called Truth Media on YouTube. And they have a video, and I'm trying to think of what it was called now. It's on my MeWe, if you can look it up so I can refer people to that. They're not even Christians as far as I know, but just the information they had was sound. It wasn't off the deep end one way or the other. But there are obvious red flags. And I thought I had that ready, so I'll just put them all up there at once. Number one, the FBI blocks the Freedom of Information online source. That has nothing to do with the coronavirus. That's what you call red flag. When the government takes actions and does things that doesn't have anything to do with the crisis, red flag. The numbers are exaggerated and skewed. I've got a video up showing it's only a difference of one, but it's just an example of how locally Channel 10 News said there's been two deaths right here in Franklin County, and a minute later you find out one of them was in Minnesota. Why? Because the more numbers, even if it's just from one to two, the more numbers, the more scare. And the more scare, the more you're glued to your TV. And the more you're glued to your TV, the higher ratings. And the higher ratings, the more ad revenue 10 TV can make off of you. Peter describes the false prophets doing making merchandise of you. They are violating the Posse Comitatus Act. That is using American military and putting them, they don't even have to do anything, folks. I'm telling you, if you drive through Worthington, Ohio one day and you see a dozen men in military uniforms out on the streets, you're going to be like, what is going on? See the effect? That's terrorism. You realize when terrorists blow up a building and kill 3,000 people, that's a drop in the bucket as far as the population. It wasn't for the numbers of people that died. They wanted to scare everybody. Terrorism. That's what it's all about. And right now, your own government is practicing terrorism on you. Scaring you. And I just mentioned Representative Thomas Massie and the way they demonized him for just following the Constitution. He swore an oath, folks. He was just doing what he said he would do. And shame on all the people in Washington, D.C. who call themselves congressmen and senators who went along with this scam. I'm going to tell you, what was the coronavirus bill they just passed? It's the third one, and they're talking about a fourth one. You know what it is? We all cry about socialism and all the terrible, you know, Ocasio-Cortez and all that. Yeah, they're nuts, and Bernie's nuts, and socialism's bad. That's all this is. These bills are called redistribution of wealth. And the saddest thing about it is they're not spending your tax money. They're spending your grandkids' tax money. Your kids, your grandkids, and your great-grandchildren are going to be the ones who are going to have this monkey on their back to pay back. And they've taken that money. You know where, there's different examples, but you know where $11 billion went? $11 billion in this bill they passed the other day went to a group. It's a bunch of brainiacs. They think tanks to develop Africa. That bill that just passed. I want to see things in Africa improve, and I want to see. But you're never going to improve Africa until you improve the governments. They have a bunch of dictators, a bunch of Muslims, that run their countries and everything. But this bill was about the coronavirus. I don't care if they said $11 billion to Greg Miller. Believe it or not, I would be saying the same thing. Wait a minute. You can give me a million, but, $11 billion for Greg Miller is wrong because this is not, I have nothing to do with the coronavirus. $11 billion to print Bibles.
Yeah.
I would have said no. That's crooked. It's wrong. And there's all kinds of... I think Massey was the one who said that if this bill, the $2 trillion, went to all the people in America, we'd be getting something like $13,000.
Nice.
You're not going to get that. You're going to get, they say, $1,200. Where's the other $10,000 plus going per person? To crap. You're being, they're thieves, people. Our Congress and Senate are thieves. The pay raise?
Yep.
Gave himself a pay raise. Because for the coronavirus, they needed a pay raise.
Their pay raise goes automatic too.
Yeah, it's on top of the regular. They're a bunch of crooks. And why is nobody saying anything? I mean, our little church and we get a few thousand people watch this when it's all said and done. In a nation of 300 and some million. We need other people to speak out. We need more representative masses. We need more preachers to speak out. But that's the reality. And I know this, our current events update is going a little longer than normal, but these are times, Go over to Psalm 64. Psalm 64, and I'm going to have you read the even verses with me. Psalm 64. I'll begin verse 1. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their boast to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. That they may shoot in secret at the perfect, suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. Heard deep state? But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. God's people say amen to that. That's why we're not calling for revolution, take up arms. God will cut them down. Amen? God will cut them down. And we trust in him. So let's get into our Bible study with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. It is truth. We thank you for the guidance, the knowledge that it gives us so that we might discern. I pray, Lord, for so many Christians who are so blind, so many of them not being taught the word in their churches, so many using perverted Bibles, so many not reading their Bible daily, and because of that, they're blind, they're not able to discern. So many continue to rebel against you. In Psalm 1 it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." And yet so many professing Christians turn on the wicked unbelievers in the news media to get their information and continue to be brainwashed. And Lord, I just pray for a revival of people who will follow your word and will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge, as Hosea 4:6 warns. And Lord, we just pray that you will have mercy on those who are facing any kind of infection from coronavirus or the flu. There's so many others who are hurting, and we pray for them. We thank you for those who are, even in trial, continuing to serve you and live for you. Give us the courage, Lord, to stand and just simply preach the gospel and stand for the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, Luke 6. And verse 1, Jesus is now fully engaged in a battle with the Pharisees. And of course, what are the Pharisees? Pharisees are people who don't go by the Bible. They go by their own tradition and their own opinions and religion and science, falsely so called. We are battling Pharisees today as Bible believers. And Jesus is fully engaged in his battle with the Pharisees. As we pick up in verse 1, read the odd verses beginning right there in verse 1. "And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, Have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him? How he went into the house of God, and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone. And he said unto them, That the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." God's people say amen. So in verse 1, this is the second Sabbath after the second day of unleavened bread. You have the Passover, that's the first day, and then the second day is when unleavened bread begins. That's the Feast of Israel. They're not the Feast of the Church. We don't observe the feasts because we're not Israel. And a lot of churches and these Messianic Jews, they're just spiritual infants. And they're the ones who run around saying, Yahshua HaMashiach, you know, and think they're real spiritual because they're transliterating Hebrew and that sort of thing. But we're learning from the feast, and the feasts are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We did a series on the feast last year and botched a couple of the recordings for one reason or another, so we need to get maybe go through those again sometime. And it was on a Wednesday. Maybe we'll do those on a Sunday this year sometime. But the spring feasts were fulfilled in the first coming of Jesus Christ, and the fall feasts will be fulfilled in the second coming. And they don't have anything to do with the church, and that's why you don't date the rapture by looking at the feasts. Amen. And every one of these books that have been sold telling you the rapture is going to happen on a certain date, it's because they link the feasts to the church. That's why they've been wrong every time. And they will continue to be wrong, because the feasts don't have anything to do with the church. It has to do with Israel and the time of Great Tribulation, the 70th week, and the second coming of Christ and his millennial reign. But anyway, we read this from John Wesley. Quote, "The first Sabbath, so the Jews reckoned their Sabbaths from the Passover to the Pentecost." See, we're counting Sabbaths. That's why he says on the second Sabbath after the first. You had unleavened bread, the second day of unleavened bread, and whenever the next Sabbath is after that, then you have you begin your count toward Pentecost. Now, the second Sabbath after the first. Now, if what that means is when Jesus was crucified, that was on Passover. It wasn't on a Friday. And the Sabbath that is referred to wasn't a Saturday. The Sabbath the day after Jesus was crucified, John tells us, was a high day, not the regular Sabbath. He was crucified on a Wednesday. The next day's Thursday, and it was a high Sabbath. Then Friday it was a good Friday, but it wasn't the day Jesus was crucified. And Friday is the day they went to the tomb or went to get the spices and things. They didn't have them on Wednesday, and they couldn't get them on Sabbath. And if you're thinking about what I'm saying, you understand why there's no way Jesus was crucified on a Friday. Because on the day that Jesus was crucified, they didn't have the spices. The day after Passover is a Sabbath. They can't buy spices, or they'll take them out and stone them to death. So that was on Friday that they bought the spices, and then they had to wait another day because the day after that was the normal weekly Sabbath. And then it was after 3 days and nights. So you have Wednesday night to Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, which went till 6 p.m. or so, we'll say, on Saturday night. It was sometime after that that Jesus rose from the dead. And so that then fit into the normal, regular Jewish practice of counting Sabbaths after the second day of unleavened bread. And what we're reading takes place on that second Sabbath. He says the first, second, third, and so on till the seventh Sabbath after the second day, as we said. This immediately preceded Pentecost, which was the 50th day after the second day of unleavened bread. So you see that? You start counting. The day after Passover is the second day of unleavened bread. The next regular Sabbath is the first Sabbath. And they would count every Sabbath till they got seven Sabbaths. And that's 49 days. And then the next day is Pentecost. Pentecost is not a Christian denomination. The day of Pentecost has nothing to do with the church other than the fact that on the day of Pentecost was the day that God poured out the Holy Spirit and added 3,000 to the church, which, as we said before, was not begun on the day of Pentecost. It was begun, if you go to John 20, you'll see God, Jesus, in God in flesh, breathed the Spirit on his followers, and the church was among those people. And then on Pentecost, they were added 3,000 to the church. So this is how it would look the year Jesus died. I just kind of put it on a little chart. Nisan 14, the crucifixion was on a Wednesday. And then the first day after that would have been High Sabbath on a Thursday, which is Nisan 15. What we call Good Friday was actually the second day after the crucifixion on Nisan 16. Then the next day would have been what we call Saturday. The Jews call the seventh day of the week. And that's the first Sabbath after the second day, as referred to in Luke. That was on Nisan 18. Or Nisan 17, and then the 18th, it would have been that morning, sometime that morning when Jesus left the tomb. It's after 3 days, so it would have been after what we call Saturday evening. It was Sunday morning when he rose from the dead. And then you would just count the second Sabbath was Nisan 24. So you actually know what day we're talking about exactly. Luke chapter 6 is Nisan 24, the 24th day of Nisan. Now you say, why is that important? It's just like anything else. The better you get to know this, the more you realize this is not a fairy tale, folks. This book is real. It's based on real information, real events that happened at a real place and time. Just like Judgment Day when you stand before God, it'll be real. It's not a fairy tale. Amen. So this is the yearly countdown. Every year you start with Nisan 14, and then the day after is the first day of unleavened bread. So then you begin counting the Sabbaths after that. And you count down to seven, and then the next day is Pentecost.